This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome to Rooted and Robust Podcast.
Hello, people. Hello, everyone. How are you guys doing? This is Rooted and Robust Podcast. My name is Ozioma Anioji. Can you believe it? We are on the 13th episode of this second season of the show. I am super excited. Thank you so much, guys, for listening, for following up, for the feedback, and for all the amazing comments. Thank you. Today, I have a guest on the show, like always. You know how we do it on this show. I always have a guest that will either inspire you, inform you, or educate you. So today, we are going to talk about investing in real estate, right? We're going to talk about what you must know before you invest in real estate. And I have a lawyer with me on the show today. We are going to look at all the legal aspects of real estate, what you must know legally before you invest in real estate so you don't get into trouble. I want to make sure I help you escape trouble, especially as you invest. So today we are going to discuss all of this together, and I have Ezra with me today. Ezra Akin today is on the show with me. He's a lead partner at Classic Attorneys. You know what? I'm going to let him introduce himself. So welcome, Ezra. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here today and to be having this discussion. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm glad to have you. So, please meet you. Who is Ezra Akin today?
Oh, thank you. Well, I don't know where to start from, but I'll just talk about myself professionally. I'm Ezra Akintonde, a real estate and business lawyer in Lagos, practicing for over 11 years now.
Wow.
And I'm based in Lagos and I practice. My favorite pastime is swimming. I love swimming a lot, so that's like what I do when I'm free and when I want to catch fun. Either I'm hanging out with my friends or I'm at the pool. So if you want to catch me maybe on a weekend, it's easier to find me by the poolside, you know? So that's basically about me.
Okay, so when you're not doing law, you're swimming.
Yeah, exactly. It's therapeutic. So wow. I love it a lot. Yeah. I could just be in the pool floating for hours, you know, meditating. So yeah, that's how I enjoy and relax.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So anyone listening, if you're looking for someone to compete in the pool, I have a worthy competitor with you here.
Yes, I'm good at holding my breath. So if you want to compete, we will go down in the water and stay and see who can stay longer.
Go, Ezra. Awesome. Okay, today I want to look at the law and as relates to real estate. One of the things I've noticed is most people get into troubles when it comes to investments, and with the boom around real estate, it's even scary. Sometimes people buy properties and the next thing they are in the courts trying to figure out who owns what and who doesn't, right? So first of all, when is it right, at what stage is it okay to consult a lawyer, a property lawyer like you? Because once I think about investing in real estate, the first thing I think about is an agent, a property agent to contact, right? But when is it right to get a real estate lawyer involved in the process?
Well, thank you so much. Okay, so, I think there's no best time and there's no worst time. Okay. But for if you're looking at investing and you're a serious you're serious minded, if you're the type that love to do things, you know, the right way and according to, you know, the procedure or the way it's supposed to be done, then you can contact, you can either contact a real estate lawyer after you found the property, or just before you start, you know, your, before you venture into your search. So for us at our firm, we take a lot of steps, even the pre-search advice. So we are not just lawyers, because the truth is that any lawyer can actually work with you on your real estate investment, but it's always best to go with a real estate lawyer. The reason is because a firm like us, I mean, when we work with you, we because of the knowledge, because this is what we do every day, so the knowledge we have can help us help you. We can guide you on a lot of things, you know. So for if you're a serious minded person that likes to do things by the book, then it's always best to contact a lawyer even before you start, because we're going to help you cross many hurdles before you even go into the search. And also, well, the thing is, most people actually contact lawyers maybe after they've gotten into trouble. Maybe they've parted with money, and then they're looking at, you know, maybe recovering the money, or you know, trying to establish their ownership in the on the property. So at that time, it's like almost too late. But that doesn't mean you can't get remedy. You can always get remedy if you're contacting a lawyer at that stage. So that's why I said there is no best time and there is no worst time. Whenever you contact a lawyer, there is always help. But if you're serious-minded, you should do that even before you start.
Wow. Okay. So when you introduced yourself initially, you emphasized that you practice in Lagos. So I wanted to know, that emphasis, is, does it matter where you are as a lawyer? Can anybody contact you from anywhere as pertains properties? So someone is in Abuja, they want to buy a property, but you practice in Lagos. Is that visible? Is that possible?
Well, as a real estate lawyer practicing in Lagos, I actually do cover briefs from outside Lagos. But then the thing is, the truth of the matter is, you know, establishing one's practice is a gradual process. So even my practice is building up gradually. So that's why for now I lay emphasis on Lagos. As time goes by, I'm beginning to extend the level of my practice. So if you're contacting me, the truth is, as many lawyers would do as well, I might have to like work with a lawyer, another lawyer within that jurisdiction. So if you're contacting me from like maybe Edo State and you have a matter, there are two things I could do. I could actually refer you to a lawyer over there. Or if we've been working together, for instance, on other briefs, and then you are telling me about your property in Edo State, then I would work with that lawyer. I may not refer you directly, but I'll work with the lawyer, and then we can achieve a very good result for you. So I like to be honest and straightforward in my dealings. So for now, my main focus area is Lagos State. So Lagos State is where I'm quite knowledgeable. But that doesn't preclude the fact that lawyers actually, once you're called to bar in Nigeria, you're eligible to practice anywhere in Nigeria. But for convenience and cost purposes, sometimes it's better when you have a brief, depending on the kind of you know, matter. So you might just want to like allow someone else within that jurisdiction. So that way it's cheaper, you know, for a client that has, you know, limited funds and resources. It's cheaper and more, you know, effective to deal in such matters. So I'll just say yes, for now, my main focus area is Lagos State. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, can you take us through what the process looks like when a lawyer is contacted in this issue? What does the process look like? Because you mentioned earlier that it's good to either contact a lawyer before an agent is even contacted or after. So if I contact a lawyer at the very initial stage, what would that process look like? What is those things I am supposed to know or the lawyer is supposed to take me through?
Okay, so like I said earlier, contacting a lawyer, you know, for a lawyer who is well grounded in real estate, we also work with agents and we work with other real estate practitioners such as land surveyors, you know, real estate companies. So we are quite broad in terms of what we provide. Sometimes a client doesn't even need to contact an agent. When you contact us, it might be that the property you're looking for is within our area or catchment area, so to speak. Like, we could actually work with you to quickly find that property you're looking for. That doesn't make us estate agents, but just because we are knowledgeable. So sometimes that could even help you, you know, cut some costs. So it all depends on the scenario. So for you contacting us, for you contacting a lawyer, you might get real estate, not just legal services, but real estate advisory. So advisory in the sense that a well-grounded real estate lawyer who knows the market very well can tell you, you know, things to look out for, places that have, you know, disputes already. You shouldn't, you know, places you shouldn't even go to, you know, like you should just cut out from your search. So at that point when you're contacting us, there are a lot of things we would advise you on and help you, you know, to understand. And it all depends on, you know, it's a case by case situation. It all depends on what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So if you're contacting a lawyer's duty in real estate transaction is to make sure that proper investigations are done on the property, mm-hmm. and also to advise you on, you know, legal steps to take in the process of closing your transaction, and also to prepare documents, title documents that would enable you obtain title from the property.
Yeah, okay. So let's even talk about those documents, because there are situations where this person is claiming ownership of a particular property. Someone else with document is claiming ownership of a particular property. So how do we know who actually owns the property, since both of them have documents? So what are those documents that actually authenticate someone's ownership of a particular property? So just take us through the documents that are needed.
Okay, thank you. So this is a very good question, actually. And I would like to answer it this way. So no two people can lay claim to a property successfully at the same time. So property documentation, if registered, is chronological.
Okay.
So chronological in the sense that time is actually of essence. Mm-hmm. So if, for instance, I registered mine in 2002 and you registered yours in 2005, mm-hmm. the first in time will always win.
Okay.
So the first in time will win. So if you're looking at purchasing a property, The first thing is to look at the documents provided. So the documents, the first document you need to see is the survey plan.
Okay.
So the survey plan is what describes the particular location through what is called coordinates. This is actually the surveyor's part, like the land surveyor's part, but I can talk on it a little bit. So the survey plan is a drawing of the specific spot of where that property is, in case, for instance, it's a land or a building. So if you have the survey plan, it will point out the exact place. A surveyor can pick it up and say, oh, this property is located right here. They will take you to the exact spot where the property is. So when you have a survey plan, then you now talk of title documents, which could be like a lease agreement or a sublease or a deed of assignment or a deed of conveyance, whatever the case is. So these documents are what the lawyer will now work on, will carry out his own investigation to, you know, to ensure that the person who is holding this document is either the owner of the property or has the authority of the owner to act on behalf of the owner.
Okay.
So once this has been properly identified, then, you know, you can move to the next step. Now, note that where there are two people disputing ownership over a property, already that's a red flag. So you don't have to go, I mean, unless that property is like maybe an oil well that's, you know, it's unique, so unique, and, you know, it has a lot of economic benefits.
It
might not even be advisable to even buy such, because there's a dispute on it, and that dispute can turn into a legal dispute. You can go to court, and then the person you bought from, if that person loses that case, that means you have lost that property. So I think with a lawyer on board, these are some of the advice, I mean, you know, things you will get if you have a lawyer to advise you on, you know, your investment.
There are issues where someone builds a house and the next thing government demolishes it, you know, and you're wondering, is it that is government being wicked, or is it that someone bought property where, you know, it's just amazing. Someone builds a duplex and the next thing demolished.
Beautiful duplex.
Exactly. So how do we avoid? Are there places where government has mapped out and maybe people are not privy to such information? How do we know such things, and where do we find out, or where do we get such information so we can avoid these heartbreaks, because they're really heartbreaking?
Oh man, this is something that happens a lot. In fact, it happens every year.
Yeah.
That you have people building. I think it happened at Festac not too long ago.
Yeah.
It happened in Ebejuleki. So these are things that, so it's really a matter of encroachment. So the word is encroachment. When you encroach, if you encroach on my land, for instance, I can decide to demolish whatever you built on my land. So same thing people do every time. They encroach on government land. So what happens is, we have town planning laws in every state. So the government plans every town or city or village or whatever. So the reason for planning is because government wants to identify where the places that will have drainages, the places that will have public facilities like hospitals, schools, the places that the roads, you know, you have roads, you know, the government designates all these things, road, hospitals, police stations, schools, drainage, and all those things. And then there are some sort of, even, you know, when you talk about water bodies like the ocean or the river, the lake, and all of that. So you now find out that people are always fond of playing funny, you know, people are fond of playing funny. So some people even take more than what they had, they bought, because they want more space. That's where you see, maybe when government is trying to construct a road, they start chopping off people's buildings. Like your building, they can just cut off the front part and break the fence, you know. So this has happened a lot, you know. You could just be in your house and you just hear the sound of a bulldozer coming to clear a part of your house, and there's nothing you can do about it because you are encroaching on the road. Or if you built your house on a place that the government has marked as an hospital, I mean, for the building of a hospital, you now want to build your beautiful duplex on it. No matter how beautiful that duplex is, the day government will decide that they want to start construction of that hospital, they are going to come to that location and they are going to destroy that duplex.
Yeah.
So these are the things that people are not always aware of. And what happens is unscrupulous agents who are looking for quick money will take people there and say, this land is genuine, buy it. And unsuspecting buyers will pay for it, and then they start constructing, only for them to hear that. So government, same thing happened in First Tech. Lots of people have gone to this so-called phase two and started building. And then government came up and said, no, you have to, they give you a short notice to evacuate.
Yeah.
And then when they come, they just pull down everything. So that happens a lot. Now, that the reason is what I've explained, because most of those places are government designated places. Also, if government allocates a land, for instance, you want to build a university or an estate, and you apply to the government for a particular space for that, and government has given you the approval, and then people go behind your back to start building, you can petition the government and say, look, the land you gave me, people are building on it.
Yeah.
So government will just tell you, pay for the facilities, and then we'll come there and destroy, you know. So those are the things that happen that we see every day. And that's why we try to always advise investors that before you go into, you know, investing, take these necessary steps, get a lawyer involved.
Yeah.
Because you really need two things, basically, a lawyer and a surveyor, a land surveyor. So those two people are going to help you know whether a property has title or is government property or not. So when you see people encroaching on other places, like in Lekki, is it Lekki Phase 1 or VGC? Recently, government had to brush out some land because they built on roads. So the right of way was obstructed. So when you build on road, government is supposed to build roads on that place, but you built your houses on it. So government has to destroy those houses so that they can construct the road they planned for. And don't forget, these plans have been on ground for a long time. It's not like government is just coming up and saying, oh, this place, and I want to now use it for a road. Please, I will have to destroy your house. No. That plan has been on ground. If you had only investigated, you would have known that this place you're about to build on has been outlined for a road or for a hospital, for a church or whatever it is, you know, for a public health center. So those things are already there in the government record. So it's up to you as an investor to ensure that you confirm. Like they say, ignorance of the law, it's not an excuse. So just because you are ignorant of it, that you didn't know, you can't use that as an excuse. You have to know, you have to find out, you have to take that step, you have to do your homework before you know, invest.
And I mean, this is where you come in, this is where property lawyers come in, because this is what you do, investigating and making sure that every property that a client wants to purchase is cleared and it's not encroaching, like you said. So anyone listening should take this information, because it's painful when you invest so much erecting a property and all of that, and the next thing is down on the ground because you encroached. Sometimes governments won't even compensate you because they believe you are the one looking for trouble.
all the time, actually.
Yeah.
All the time. The only time you get compensated is if that place had not been earmarked for such. If government had, like, for instance, where government wants to now construct a railway, you know, like what happened in some places recently. Mm-hmm. So they had to pay off people or relocate them to another place. Like, okay, want to construct. So that's a different case entirely. Mm-hmm. So you get compensated. But if you're building on already designated public space, then I'm sorry, you wouldn't even get sufficient notice before the demolition takes place.
Wow.
So sad. It's very sad.
I mean, you need to do your due diligence. Real estate is one, it's booming. I mean, there are agents everywhere. So it's important. If you're listening, it's important that you get a property lawyer. It's important. This is why we are here. So we drum it into your ears. Get a property lawyer so you don't fall victim of this sad situation going on. So something that I am always very fascinated about is situations, especially when it has to do with families and land disputes among villagers and family members and all of that. Where do we contact lawyers, especially when you buy lands from families and the next thing here is not this particular person that is supposed to sell the land, and now this one is not even, we're not even talking about agents, registered land agents. Now we're talking about individual families. So in situations like that, how do you go about it as a property lawyer? Where do you come in when it has to do with family?
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so well, the truth about it is family, buying properties from families is very complicated, mm-hmm. especially if it's a large family, like an extended family. So if you're buying from Mr. and Mrs. John, for instance, that's a very simple transaction. It's the wife and the husband that owns the property, so they're selling to you. But when you're buying from the Johnson's family, which is like a very large community or a large family, extended family with uncles, aunties, and they all lay claim to the property, or you're buying from a community where the property is like an ancestral property. Mm-hmm. So there are certain steps you have to, you know, follow. But like I said, it's complicated. Okay. Even when you follow those steps, you might still have issues. So, you know, the way to go about it, you also have to have a lawyer going with you, because that's how these people know you are serious about the transaction. In many cases, you buy a land, and then before the ink of the paper signature dries up, they sold it to another person.
Someone else, yeah.
So that happens a lot. It's a very complicated. So there are two ways to go about it or to look at it. First, in some cases in Lagos State, if you're buying in Lagos State, make sure it's a registered property.
Okay.
So registered in terms of there has to be some title documents. If you're buying from a family that has not done their own documentation mm-hmm. with the government, that's where the risk becomes higher.
Okay.
But if you're buying from a family, there are lots of families that are selling land in Lagos. They have documents. They have what is called escheat mm-hmm. or COFO. So if you're buying a property from a family that has a COFO or a community that has a COFO, then you have to ensure that you're talking to the legitimate leaders of that community or family. So there's always the principal members. There are the principal members, that which is the head, mm-hmm. and then some other members. So if the head is involved and the principal members, let's assume you have the head, which is like the king or the head of the family, with two other members or three other members. Sometimes if it's communities, then each household may have a representative.
Okay.
Some small communities can have like 10 households. So like, let's say John community, or let's say Ibeju community.
Mm-hmm.
So Ibeju community may have the Gogoro household. So that king of that community is holding the property in trust of that, of the other, of all the households. Sometimes they share the properties, but because the documentation is one documentation covers everything. So it now also depends on which household land is being sold.
Okay.
If it's the Gogoro household, so you need the king and maybe two other representatives.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, when a lawyer is involved, what the first thing we do is to check who are the signatories of that property.
Mm-hmm.
So once we have the signatories of the community, we get them to sign. And once those signatories sign, you have to take possession immediately. So when you take possession, you have less worries, because if anything happens, you know your source. You know you are dealing with the right community head. You didn't just go to somebody in his house. You went to maybe the palace, or you know, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
where the community head stays. You know that this is the right person. So if anything happens, you know exactly where to go. So these people, when they know you know all these things, they even try to protect their image and they don't mess with you.
Mm.
It's when you try to do it without knowing the right thing to do, or going with a quack representative, that's when issues begin to arise. So like I said, if you're buying from a registered owner, your worries are less. But when it's not registered, you still need to go through the process. We need to investigate. And to be sure, one thing that always happens in those unregistered properties is disputes. Like the community I mentioned now that has different family heads or families, they could have disputes, internal disputes, to say, okay, this family is the owner of this lot. So when you buy and you are not sure, you did not do your proper investigation, you could find out that there is a dispute on that land, which dispute may even get to court.
Mm.
So that's already like an issue for you, because when you are paid to one family and then you now realize that family is not the owner of that land, then for you to keep that land, you may have to now pay the new family some money, which might even be the same amount that you have paid before.
Paying double for the property.
Exactly, because if you go back to that family, they would have shared the money and spent it. How do you now want them to start putting it together and paying you back? It's already gone. So if you now like, if that land is a land you feel like you can't lose, you might have to pay again. So those are the issues that people face when, you know, they don't do the right thing. So if your appetite for risk is very low, ensure you're buying a registered property. But because those registered ones are more expensive.
Yeah.
But if it's the unregistered one, it's always cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot cheaper because there's no proper documentation. So that, but the risk is very, very high. The risk of losing the property, the risk of it not, you know, being sold to you by the rightful owner, and the risk of even government not approving whatever documentation you present. Government may decide not to, you know, give out that property to that family and withhold it. So those are the risks that you face when you're buying an unregistered property. So it all depends on your, you know, on how large your appetite for risk is.
There's this concern most times, people who were willed properties by their parents maybe 10, 15, 20, 40 years ago, and they wake up one day and they want to claim their properties. And the thing is, you come to the place where it is supposedly yours and you're seeing things differently. People have probably built on the land and all of that. How do you go about such situations? How do you go about, especially when there's a whole of development that has happened in that environment? First of all, how do we even begin to locate which is yours? And even if you locate it and you discover it's been taken, how do you go about the whole process?
Wow. This is Mount Everest. this is a Mount Everest question, actually. Because first, I'll have to dissect it and take it one. Okay, first thing is, if a property is being willed to you, maybe like from the scenario you described, it's probably a land that has been forgotten and abandoned for a long time. And then all of a sudden you just decide, oh, let me go and look for that property 40 years later or 50 years later.
Yeah.
And then you get there, things have changed, development has happened. Well, of a truth, we've had a scenario like that, okay, which I personally handled. A client, he has just returned from abroad. He was born in the US, he has been living there, but he decided to relocate. His mother has died more than 30 years ago and all of that. And then he just came up and said, there's this property, this land. In fact, the name of the street then and the local government has been changed. You know, it was Lagos had like only 3 or 4 local governments back then or thereabouts. So the local government had changed and all of that. But thankfully, he had a survey plan. So with the survey plan, we were able to locate the property. So that's the importance of survey plans. Luckily for him, the place had been developed, the surrounding place, but his land was left there untouched.
That long.
And we're able to reclaim the land. But in some cases, development will have happened and your land will have been. In fact, even when government sells some land, they usually put a clause that says, if you don't build, if you don't develop within years, government has a right to reclaim the land from you. So if you find yourself in such a case, ensure you have the survey plan, or if you are sure possession was taken by your parents, then you have to find out how to locate the land. But if you have your survey plan, not to worry, you can always locate the land. Now, the second part is, if your land has been encroached upon, and there's the law that says if that person has been on that land for 20 years or more, you can't have a right to claim that land anymore.
Wow.
If the person, if it's not like you authorize, if it's that you authorize the person to live there and say, when I come back, I'm coming to claim it, that's a different case. But someone who has encroached on, maybe bought from a family that sold to your parents, you know, they went back to resell the land and your parents didn't, do the needful. And then that person has been living there for 20 years, maybe has even died and willed the property to his own children. Well, sadly, you cannot reclaim that land. But because it's already more than 20 years. So that's why it's important, for proper things to be done when you purchase a property. If you know you're not going to develop it immediately and it's in a bushy environment, you have to take possession, build a fence around it, look for people that are, these homeless people, or someone that can just build something like a small shed or a room apartment, put the person there. Let the person live there rent free, be contacting the person, all of that can help to secure your property. Once in a while, maybe twice a year, visit the place. If you are abroad, have your representative visit the place. So that's how it's done. And with that, you can always have your property. If you know you're not going to build for, you don't need that land for anything, you sell it off and buy something closer to where you can develop, you know. So yeah, you can't just leave land for 40 years and just wake up one day and say, oh, I have a land somewhere, let me go check.
Yeah.
Something might have happened. So you cannot rule out that fact.
Wow. And the bottom line of this whole conversation is doing the needful, getting the real people on board when it's
exactly.
So getting the real, getting on board immediately. So you don't go into issues that you shouldn't even get into.
So like for us, if you're dealing with my law firm or if you're dealing with me, you can contact me as the first thing, as the first step, and would help you outline all the steps you need to take. And we have a group of professionals that we work with. We work with estate agents, we work with land surveyors, so we can provide our one-stop benefit for you. So once you contact us, and don't forget also those professionals we deal with, based on our relationship, they offer discounted prices, unlike if you have to go to them, individually. So we work with, we synergize with them to ensure that, you know, our clients are satisfied in terms of what they're looking for. So it's important to contact a lawyer. Some other professionals, for instance, like the estate agent, when you contact them, they might not have a lawyer to link you with. They will just tell you, get a lawyer. But that's what makes us different. We know the market, we know the professionals. Once you contact us, you have no worries about, you know, getting a survey plan or getting the coordinates. So we already have that, all that covered, because we work with other professionals.
Wow. And to make it easier for anyone listening, I'm going to leave a contact of Ezra in the description of the episode. So if you want to invest in real estate, or you have someone that is interested in investing, just contact Ezra, and it's easier, and is less stressful when you have professionals handling this, especially legal issues for you, because I hate when it has to do with the law. I don't want trouble. So please, if you want to invest in real estate, please, as soon as possible, in fact the moment you are thinking about making that investment, also think about getting a legal person involved. And please, if you listen to this episode and you want to get in touch with Ezra, he's a professional, he's been doing this for a long time, so get in touch with him. There'll be a contact detail on the description of the episode, so get in touch with him, and I'm sure he's gonna treat you well. He'll treat you fine. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for this episode, Ezra. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate. I'm grateful, and I look forward to talking to you, my wonderful host, Ozzy and your G. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. You too. Bye.
Okay, guys, you heard it all. If you want to invest in real estate, I'm sure you know what to do already. This is the last episode of our second season on the show. I am so excited and I am most grateful. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for always following, for connecting with me, for sharing. I see the comments. I see all of the things you do in helping us grow this channel. Thank you so much. But you know, I am not going to go away, because I'm going to come back next week. But this time around is going to be for something different. So from next week, we are going to go into our break, as we always do. We'll go into our season break. But this time around, I'm going to be having special people come on the show and talk to you. So if you want to know the people I'm bringing on the show, join me next week for another exciting episode. This is Rooted and Robust Podcast. My name remains Ozioma Anyoji, and I will talk to you guys next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.